interesting choice of song because it kind of fits right in with my sermon. Tonight I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Job in Job chapter 42. And the first six verses of that chapter where Job responds to God. And the title of my sermon is, Now My Eye Sees You. We just got done singing a song that says, I close my eyes and I see His majesty. Have you ever thought about what it would be like if you had a chance to come face to face with God or God's presence or some manifestation of God, what that would be like, how you would respond? Well, I think we all have, from time to time, thought about that. Certainly anticipating what it will be like at the end of the world when we all come before the presence of God. But Job is a man who got to have a close encounter, if you will, with God, even in this life. And it's interesting, these words that we read here in Job 42, 1 through 6, about what he had to say at that moment. At the scene here, God appears to Job in the whirlwind, and that picture right there is one man's portrayal of what that moment would look like, and I chose this one because it's very much the kind of scene that I had pictured in my mind. Out there in the wilderness lands, and Job and his friends still present, apparently. The friends that Job had been speaking back and forth with all through the book of Job are still there. And just the context of the passage, you know, Job had suffered great loss. I suppose as much loss as any of us can ever experience in this life. It's a series of tragedies that befell Job, to lose all of his children, to lose all of his property and wealth, to lose his health, to be in great suffering and pain, but also to think or to assume that he had lost his relationship with God as well. And that's kind of how Job saw it. He thought that that God had abandoned him, that Job was by himself. He thought that. And although the book says that Job did not blame God or ascribe evil to God, he still felt that for whatever reason, and he didn't understand the reason, he didn't understand why, he felt that God had turned his back on him. And of course, the position of his friends was that Job must have done something wrong, but Job knew that he hadn't done anything to warrant this kind of abandonment by God. And he struggled with it. He doesn't sit there and complain about his illness per se. We often say that. We often say, well, Job is complaining about his loss and complaining about his illness, but that's not really it. If you read carefully what Job says, what he wants most desperately is just to know an answer as to why. That's what he's complaining about. He wants to know what's going on with God. Why has God let these things happen to him? And of course, in a series of dialogues throughout the book, that's exactly what the question is. And that's the dialogue. It's a whole series of dialogues between Job and his friends. And they're saying, it's because you've done wrong. And Job says, no, it's not. That's not it. Something else. Well, God finally responds to Job at the end of the book in chapter 38. It's what Job had been asking for all along. If God would just come and talk to me, if I could just ask Him, if I could just get an interview with God. Well, he gets what he what he wants. He gets an interview with God. And when that happens, God, he turns the tables on Job, and he starts asking Job questions. And I got to tell you, as much as you might imagine that there are questions that you would like for God to answer that you have, can you imagine the kind of questions that God could put to you that he could demand an answer for? But this is how God responds to Job. He asks him a series of questions which have to do with the marvels and power of nature, of creation. Basically, God says is, Job, if you know you're wanting an answer, give me an answer. Explain to me these things. And here in these six verses of chapter 42, we have Job's response to God's response. It's kind of it's a whole book of dialogues, and this is the last dialogue. It's between God and Job. And throughout the book, Job has been saying again and again, I want to talk to God. I want to know why. I want to know why, he has dealt with me in this way. And God shows up, and God asks his questions, and this is Job's answer. So let's read the verses together. In Job chapter 42 and verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Verse 3, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Now, when you see those words there, in this translation, there's little quotation marks, single quotation marks, and that indicates that Job is quoting someone. Who he's quoting is God. If you go back to chapter 38, verses 2 and 3 and 4. This is how God begins his conversation with Job. God asks Job some questions. And God opens with these words. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? And so here, in his response, what Job is doing is he's quoting God. Because Job is responding to God. And he quotes what God said, and then he gives his response. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And then again, Job quotes God, again coming from the beginning of chapter 38 of the book. Hear, and I will speak, I will question you, and you will make it known to me. And this is again what God says to Job. I want you to answer my questions. And here again is Job's response to what God had said. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. These are very powerful words, very moving words. If you've read through the and you sympathize with Job, you feel his loss and his pain, his search for an answer, an explanation, his desperate struggle with what's happened to him, then you cannot but sympathize with him again as he answers God and with such honesty, with such emotion and power, and great, great humility. And I think in these words, Job teaches us a great deal. God, through Job, teaches us a great deal about how we should think about God and how we think about Him, especially when we have questions, when we have doubts, when things happen in life that that just make us wonder why. Why is this going on? If you read Job's words here, I think you can deeply appreciate just how meaningful they are. Job's response, he acknowledges God's power, and clearly that's what's happened here. You know, Job had never really doubted God's power or questioned the fact that God was the creator and that God had made all things. It's not that Job doubted any of that, and yet when God finally responds to him, and it's a marvelous thing to think about, really, that God would respond to him, and yet it's an indication of just how much God thought of Job. God always had appreciated Job, always thought highly of Job, and in fact, that's what got the whole thing started to begin with, is that God had said to the devil, look at my servant Job. Look how faithful this man is. And so God respected and loved Job. And so God speaks to Job in the whirlwind. And you must imagine that it must have been impressive. It must have been overawing to see this display of God's power in the sky. And to hear the voice of God. And Job acknowledges that. He says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Do you know that? It's really the whole book. The whole book of Job is a book about faith and about doubt and about questioning God and about the struggle that we have with our own pride, our own arrogance, our own temptation to question God. And that's what it amounts to when you question God. It is an act of arrogance. It is an act of pride. It assumes that somehow there is a question that needs answering and hasn't been adequately answered, and that I have the right to ask that question, and I demand an answer to that question, and that God should have to answer it. It's not necessarily wrong to ask the question. Does it make you a sinner to ask the question? And yet when you know God and truly appreciate Him, and that's really what this passage is about. It's about Job expressing the fact that he fully appreciates the nature of God. But when you fully appreciate the nature of God, the questions kind of go away. And you trust Him and you embrace Him and you say, I know. I know that you have all the power, that you can do anything, that nobody and nothing can thwart you. It's a full acknowledgement of the nature and power of God. And it makes your arrogance go away. It makes your pride go away. And you accept, as a creature made by God, and everything that you have is given to you by God. And if you can find it in your heart to submit to Him and to serve Him, to know that He will always take care of you, that all of that power and all of that ability is going to be used to your advantage, to take care of you. When you acknowledge that, then your questioning of God, your questioning of God's rules, of God's laws, they just go away. And Job says, God, you are so powerful. You are so great. You can do anything. It's an acknowledgement of the power of God. And that is what we need. That is what we need in our personal lives. It's what we need as a society, as a country. I wish we had it. We don't, as a country. A full and deep appreciation of the nature and power of God. Our people does not have that, but we should. as Christians in the church, we should know how great God is. And that's what Job does. He says, here's my response to you, Lord. My response to you is, you are awesome. You are great. You are powerful. Secondly, Job accepts his own ignorance. And that's exactly what has been on full display. That's exactly what God is kind of getting at. And all of the questions that God puts to Job, it's showing that Job doesn't know. All the things that Job doesn't know. And it's not an exercise on the part of God to just try to make Job look small for the sake of feeling or looking superior. It's the reality of the universe. God is God and we're not. And in order to find our place and to find contentment and satisfaction, in order to get to a good spot, so to speak, in our thinking and in our experience of God, we need to know what we don't know. And so God asks Job all of these questions, the answers to which Job does not have. And Job, he responds appropriately. You know, God said, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? And Job responds to that. He says, I. Because that's the answer to the question. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Job says, me. I'm the one who has hidden counsel without knowledge. And to hide counsel means to obscure it. To hide counsel means to confuse it. To muddle it. To muddle counsel because you don't know. To speak when you don't know what you're talking about. And Job says, it's me. I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Are you willing to acknowledge that? I mean, we say it. You know, we say from time to time, well, I don't know everything. Or we say, well, God knows better than I do. But do we mean that? Are we sincere and earnest? Because I got to tell you, it's all too common for us to question God and to talk about things that we really don't know what we're talking about. And I've experienced that, and you've experienced that. I don't know how many times in my life I've heard people talking about something that I know a little bit about and they knew nothing about. And they're hiding counsel without knowledge. They don't know what they're talking about. And it just sounds foolish. They don't know that. They're waxing eloquent. They think they know what they're talking about. I'm sure that in all of my sermons and all of my lessons, there's been many occasions in which God has looked down on me and says, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm sure that I've expressed opinions that are just ignorant. I know that I have. And it'll be embarrassing to find that out. But, you know, you do the best that you can. But in the process of doing the best that you can and trying to find the truth and get at the truth and speak the truth, you can never forget this statement. I don't know everything. There are things that are beyond my capacity and even things that may be within my capacity, but I still haven't gotten there yet. I don't know. And so why would you question your faith in God? Why would you overthrow your connection to God? Why would you put your relationship to God in jeopardy knowing that you don't know? It would be foolish. Yes, we have questions. Yes, we have doubts and musings and wanderings, and we would like to know more, but we're not going to know everything. There are things that are too wonderful for us. And this is where our faith kicks in. You just accept. You know that God knows and you don't. And He does know. And all of those things in Job chapter 38 and 39 and 40 and 41, things that God knows and Job didn't know. Things that God understood and Job did not understand. Things that God arranged and ordered and controlled that were beyond Job's capacity to even begin to fathom how God did those things. And yet God did them, and Job accepted that God did them and was thankful that God did them, controlling the elements and the world and nature and the animals. God had all of those things in hand, and Job lived every day satisfied with the understanding that God knew and that he didn't know. And the point is that here, in this particular situation, Job, where something has happened to you and you don't know why, but God knows why. And you don't understand what's happening, but God understands what's happening. And you're just going to have to accept that. And it may be hard, it may be challenging, but that is the nature of a relationship between an all-knowing God and a not-so-much-knowing child. Can you accept it? Can you say, like Job, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Job, he accepts his ignorance. He acknowledges his ignorance. And he says, I'm fine with that. I'm good with not knowing. Things that I wish I knew, or I wish I understood, or things that I struggle with, but I don't know, I don't understand, and that's okay. Is it going to be okay for you? For Job, he was okay with it. He also now sees God more clearly. And this is something that has always impressed me about this statement that Job makes. He sees God more clearly. He said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Job had always had a good relationship with God. Job had been a religious man. Job had been a dedicated man, a moral man. In so many ways, I regard Job as being a better man than I have been. In the way that he used his life, his faithfulness, certainly in what he went through in this last period of his life, I have no idea whether I would be able to stand up to that kind of loss and suffering. But Job did, maintained his integrity, did not blame God. Job is a very, very impressive man. And he had a great relationship with God. And yet, Job acknowledges. He said, you know, up to this point, my knowledge and appreciation for you, God, it's just now grown a great deal. And he says, it's like I just heard about you my whole life, but now I see you for the first time. There are a lot of things like that in life. Things that until you experience them firsthand, you just cannot appreciate them. I hear that from people all the time. Go to the Grand Canyon. I'd like to go see the Grand Canyon one day, but the thing that nearly everybody always says, pictures just can't do it justice. Well, what do you say to that? I guess, you know, the pictures are pretty impressive. Apparently, seeing it for yourself is more so. That's true for a lot of things. You know, if you'd never seen the ocean, never seen it, and the only way that you even knew that there was an ocean is that somebody had told you about it, and even the people who had told you about it didn't see it completely or fully. They just saw it from a long way off, and they caught a glimpse of it between the mountains or something, and they said, man, look at that big blue thing out there. And they come back to you, and they say, there's this body of water, and it's huge, and it's expansive, and it goes on forever, and I caught a glimpse of it, and this is what it was like. And you would say, well, that sounds fascinating, but I can't even imagine what you're talking about. One day, we will get to see God in His full glory. And even Job, in this story, does not see God in His full glory, because no man can see God, can see the face of God and live. But even this next step up of experiencing God so floored Job, just knocked him down, blew him away, that he says it this way. You know, it's like I've just heard about you my whole life, but now I'm seeing you for the first time. And what I get out of that story is, again, a deeper, more respectful, more humble appreciation for just how great God is. I look forward to that day when we shall see God face to face. But until that day, I must read words like this, and I must humble myself and understand that, you know, my knowledge of God, my perception of God, we just sang a song, I close my eyes, I see your majesty. Well, not in any really great way, not like it's going to be. We can just kind of imagine. We can just kind of get an impression from the words of the Bible. God is so great. God is so awesome. This passage is humbling. It's intended to be humbling. Job was a good man, a great man, a man close to God. One of the great paragons of the Bible, and yet he acknowledges, I just had a bare idea of what you are, God. Think about that. And finally, Job, he admits that he had been wrong. And that's amazing right there. You know, all through the story, Job had not done wrong in that he had not blamed God. And yet, in this humbling moment, Job admits that his questions and his doubts, that he was wrong. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And if a man as good as Job, with as much integrity as Job, who can go through all of the things that Job went through and not lose his faith, and not blame God. If this man can say, because he encounters this presence of God, if he can say, I am nothing compared to you, God, and I'm sorry, I repent. If he can say those words, then how much more should we, in all of our faults and all of our flaws, how much more should we be reticent to question God, to doubt God? Job, he gets it. He understands. He learns something from this experience. And the intention is that through out, should as well. These are the lessons. Even godly people can be shallow and complacent in their faith. We need to constantly remind ourselves of our own weakness, our own frailties, our own ignorance, and God's power, and God's wisdom, and God's greatness. We need to constantly remind ourselves of these things. Sometimes suffering loss can help us to do that, to remind us how dependent we are upon God, how great God is, and how frail we are. That we don't have things under control, that God does. That we are powerless without Him. But God hears our complaints. And He also hears our repentance, which is a marvelous, wonderful thing about God. Is that He loves us so much, He cares about us so much, that He's willing to listen to our whining and our complaining. And when we say, God, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time, please forgive me, He does. If you're here tonight and you need God's forgiveness for any reason, know that God hears your prayers. God is willing to forgive. Because God loves you. God is great. Us, not so much. And maybe Job's words can remind you of that. And if you need to obey the gospel, or if you need to make something right with God, use that opportunity tonight. Come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.